This is Chris Danielson with another profile of a 2018 Dr. Jacob Bolotin Award winner. And I have with me...
I am Peggy Chong. I am known as the Blind History Lady.
Well, great to have you, Peggy. Thanks so much for doing this interview. Why are you known as the Blind History Lady?
Several years ago, somebody kind of gave me that little tag because I had been just finding all these little bits of odds and ends information and like to share it about blind people. I had been doing a genealogy project on my family since about 2003, and then every once in a while on the same page as an article about my great-grandpa would be this article about a blind person. And I would copy it and paste it and to another document and save it for researching later. And about 3 years ago, I decided it was time to bring it forward. Actually, it was about 4 years ago now. And I began a project called The Blind History Lady, taking a lot of the stories that I have been collecting over about 35 years and putting them into a format that other people can gain access to. I write for Dialogue Magazine as the history columnist. I have an email list that I send out a story once a month about an interesting blind person who has done something that caught my attention. And I usually try to find out in my stories what techniques they used or what training they had or in many cases didn't have, because my subjects come from the 1800s to the early 1900s. And so I want to bring to light the fact that these people worked very hard. They maybe didn't get very rich, but they contributed back to their society in such a way that others noted them, or they did things that got them noted. So that's kind of what I'm looking for when I'm looking for newly these blind people.
So how appropriate that you've won a Dr. Jacob Bolotin Award, because of course he is a blind person. Of course, he's from the early 20th century, but certainly a blind
Correct.
Person that a lot of us had not heard of before the establishment of the Dr. Jacob Bolotin Award.
Very much so. Yeah. And he is a gentleman who was very lucky growing up in Chicago, having a couple of other blind doctors there actually in Chicago at that time.
Oh, great, great, yeah. I know I remember reading about at least one of them, but there were others as well. So share with us just a little bit about somebody else that you've researched that we may not know about that has an interesting story.
Well, one person I'm researching right now, his name is Levi Correll. And this gentleman was born in 1866. He attended the Nebraska School for the Blind and was one of its first graduates. He had congenital cataracts, he and his brother George, which I don't know much about his brother George yet, but Levi was an interesting character. He was trained as a piano tuner, but wasn't quite his thing. He had gotten a little bit of money together and got a gas station. And this was in the around the turn of the century, a little before that. And decided he really didn't like managing the gas station. So he found another manager and he bought another business. And then he bought another business and another business and another business and another business and became a multimillionaire to the point where when King George was crowned king in England, he and his wife traveled over to England. They got a suite in a hotel, cost them $15 a night for this luxury suite. But he wanted to have a seat on the actual parade. So he pulled out of his wallet $600 to pay for seats for him and his family to sit right in front on the parade route. That's the kind of money he ended up having. He had a son who went into business with him. But by the time he and his son were in business together, they were managing granaries and rental properties and all kinds of things besides his gas stations and implement dealerships and so on.
So he had this is a blind person who had a business empire, basically, and
yes,
was able to build that empire to the point where he could do things like go off to England and get a seat to see the coronation of King George.
Correct.
Wow. Wow. That's pretty amazing stuff.
We don't often hear about the blind people who have made it really financially successful. And I think sometimes it's because we don't always believe that that's possible. Mm-hmm. But these are the kind of people that I like to research, as well as the piano tuners who, they had a comfortable living. They raised their children, sent them off to college to become doctors, joined the church, created community involvement opportunities in their community. There was a teacher who got on the city council so that he could get his alley paved, but he stayed on the city council and brought the town into the 20th century with electric lighting and all sorts of things that he helped to bring into the community, the small community he lived in.
That's fascinating. So even though we have only recently begun to, fairly recently, within the last 70 something years, to really advocate for full inclusion in society, there were and always have been, in some respects, blind people who were contributing to society.
A lot of the agencies for the blind would not have gotten started if it hadn't been for the push of some blind person who was influential in some way in their communities.
Excellent. Well, that's really an interesting thing to hear, and I can see the value of letting our community and the sighted community know about these stories. So
that is my target, is the sighted community. They're the ones that are going blind later in life. Many of the people have gone blind later in life. And when we get into the situation where we're starting to have to deal with agencies for the blind, our families about blindness issues, and especially the attitude towards ourselves that we have as a blind person, it's nice to know that there have been blind insurance agents, blind farmers, blind business owners. There have been blind people doing almost every profession, and they found a way to get it done. And I like to find the ways that they got it done. The blind piano tuner who built his own house because he couldn't afford anything else. But he ended up to be a person who gave back to the community. Building his house caused so much entertainment value, if you will, for the neighborhood that he ended up being a carpenter, hiring out as a carpenter to supplement his piano tuning business.
Wow. A lot of great stories. And you have a website, do you not?
I do indeed. It is www.theblindhistorylady.com.
And you have little books that you've written that folks can buy and can download.
Correct.
And
they are up on Smashwords at www.smashwords.com. And then if you do a search for Peggy Chong or the Blind History Lady, they will come up. I've just recently published one up there about Karsten Olmsted, a blind guy from Minnesota, and the trouble that he had becoming a teacher after he got his college degrees. Nobody would hire him as a teacher. And he eventually did become a teacher, but he sold insurance for 20 years, a very successful insurance agent as well. So that one is my most recent one up on Smashwords.
Great stuff. And let's talk a little bit about the Bolotin Award. First of all, what does it mean to you to have gotten this award from the National Federation of the Blind, of which, of course, you're also a member, but getting it from your blind family, so to speak, how do you feel about that?
To me, it's very exciting. I consider the people that I research my ancestors, and I have been collecting their data for a long time. And over the years, I've gotten some of my articles in like the Minnesota Bulletin or the Iowa History Journal. But to get this acknowledgement from my peers that this is important is really, to me, very special. As a genealogist, we often talk about how our families are the last to recognize us. So being recognized by my family with just a few years of starting this project to me is very, very special.
And how will the Blatten Award, whatever cash prize you get, how will that help your work?
Well, it's going to help me improve my communication. That's for one thing. I'm going to improve my ways of communicating with people. But I also want to be able to make at least one trip to a site where I know there is a wealth of documentation that I can get a hold of that will help me in my research. These blind people are not easy to track. We keep a lot of statistics over the last 200-300 years about the schools for the blind, the workshops for the blind, the money that was used, the papers that were presented at the AAWB meetings or the American Foundation for the Blind meetings from all the professionals. We talk about in the annual reports, we have a lot of obituaries that are honoring the people who gave money, who chaired the boards. These are sighted people. We don't talk about the blind graduate who went to be a barber. We don't talk about in these files that have lasted for many years that have been digitized about what happened to the graduates. Very little is online about what happened to the graduates. But in the files, paper files that are probably not going to be digitized, is where you get a lot of clues about what happened to these people. Letters that they may have written back to the schools for the blind, telling them, thank you for whatever, I am now whatever the job they have, I purchased a home, I have 3 children. Those are the types of things that I want to find and bring to life these people, not just statistics, but the story that they have to tell and the contributions that they need. And a lot of that is disappearing, it's being thrown away. Iowa was one of the best states to have a lot of documentation, and now that's all been moved out of the School for the Blind because the School for the Blind has been closed, and those records are going to be much more difficult to gain access to. So to be able to have my hands on the actual documents and to get copies of the actual documents to me is a very integral part of what I need to have to tell these stories. So that's what some of the money will be going to, is at least one trip to go and have my hands on these documents.
Terrific. Well, what a worthy thing to be doing. And thank you for what you are doing to tell us in the blind community about our ancestors. And thank you for talking to us about your Dr. Jacob Blatten Award. And congratulations again.
Well, thank you very much, and thank you for interviewing me.